I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Hey, folks. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at Definitely Dying. we got a fun episode for you. We're gonna delve into the world of gross a little bit with we got Gilly Nassim. She's the host of UCB's own We're Gross, which is a live show at the theater that likes to draw attention to the disturbing facts about us, while at the same time being inclusive about it,
yeah, right?
Making us feel like we're all gross and we're in this together. So yeah, it should be a really fun episode. You do anything gross lately, Madeline? Anything gross going on in your life?
All the time.
Yeah.
On Friday I wiped my cat's butt.
Just like for fun?
No, it was really not fun.
No.
It was so we've spoken about her on the podcast.
Mm-hmm,
my beautiful cat June. Uh-huh. Something was going on. She like went to her litter box, but she didn't complete her poop. It got stuck in her butt, as sometimes happens to an animal. It's pretty gross.
Uh-huh.
So she was doing that thing where she drags her butt around on the ground, and so she was like, essentially just like
caking it,
dragging a piece of poop all around the floor.
Yeah.
And so I was like, what are you doing? No, stop. And I scooped her up and realized she kind of just had this half a turd hanging from her butt. And I
dingleberry, I think.
Yeah,
it's called.
But it was like a long one. Oh. And she'd also gotten a bunch of poop right on her fur around her tail.
Yeah.
It was pretty pathetic. And I didn't know what to do. So I just grabbed some toilet paper and I wiped her butt.
Yeah.
And we made eye contact while I was doing it. And I know she's just an animal, but I feel like both of us shared a moment of being like, this is really weird. But she didn't resist. She knew it had to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was not. It didn't feel good for either of us.
No, it doesn't sound like. I mean, I wouldn't like it if somebody did it to me.
No.
And I can't assume that a cat's going to feel that differently about invasive stuff.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
It was really gross. And then I had to clean a bunch of poop off the floor. And
so you cleaned
that
a lot
was
of poop
pretty gross.
Recently.
Yeah, I cleaned up a lot of poop recently. Have you done anything gross recently? Has anything gross happened to you?
I mean, not similar to that. I had last night I cried thinking about how good a person Miley Cyrus is. I think that was kind of gross. I think she's just a really good person, and I was just watching The Voice, and she's just so good to the people, not just on her team, but to all the teams, but in particular, she just says things that a person who became famous that young, she's empathetic in a way that you just wouldn't expect from someone who's been made the center of attention her entire life, and just she says things about. She's still pretty young, and she just says these things about sort of human camaraderie that really touch me. And I remembered it happening a little bit back. And it probably has something to do with the election and all these residual feelings. But just I remember I was sitting there yesterday, and all of a sudden I was just really crying. I was just she's such a good person. And I just felt kind of pretty gross about it. So it's not cleaning poop. It was more just this has to be what, there must be male menopause and I must be going through it. So I don't know. Is that gross? Is that gross that she's a really good person, folks. I really want to get her on this podcast, too. Because Miley, you always talk about on The Voice that you got nothing else going on besides The Voice. We're local. Come on the show.
I think that is not gross.
Okay.
I think that's Lovely.
Well, I think it's pretty lovely that you cleaned your cat's butt. Because that's because it's a creature that you love. I mean, think about all the creatures that you don't love. Think about every creature that you've ever not loved.
Yeah.
Would you wipe its butt?
Probably not.
No, I don't think you would.
No, it was an act of love.
Yeah. So well, that's the thing
I
about us.
I love my cat. You love Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
Let's do a podcast. Yeah.
Perfect timing.
Guys, we have an awesome guest today. You can see her every Friday night at 9:30 p.m. with her improv team, Winslow, at UCB. You can also see her hosting, a truly amazing talk show called We're Gross, which is the third Thursday of every month at 9:30 at UCB Franklin. I've almost never seen a show that I thought was better and more... I would call it a life-changing show. I know that sounds like I'm just sucking up to you, but I really believe it. I think it's such a cool, good show, and I love it so much. Guys, we have Gilly Nassim in the studio with us.
Oh, we have a blushing Gilly Nassim.
Yes. Madeline's intros never leave him not blushing.
It's such a cool show. Can you just, like, really quickly explain what the show is to our listeners who have never seen it?
That's so nice. It would be my pleasure. It's a talk show that I co-host with Jake Jabbour. And when we decided we wanted to do a talk show, we came up with an idea that was celebrating how pathetic being a human could be. Rather than... talk shows now have kind of turned into, like, viral video factories. You know, they had to, like, compete with YouTubers and what they think young people want. And we're just kind of going with the everlasting supply of, God, being alive is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
We never know what we're doing. We're sacks of meat and
bones. That's what our show is too.
Yeah, exactly. You really are celebrating that. So we are coming up with segments that have to do more with emotions and just can't we all just laugh at this rather than be scared of it? And we have the buckets of a talk show. Like there's a structure there. That's why I think they're so easy to make into comedy shows. We have a lot of fun. We have guests come through who are comedians who are awesome and also happen to be women. That's another fun thing that we do. Band leader's a lady.
Nice.
We have fun.
One thing I love – well, one – it always starts with a bang because you always do your opening monologue with – it's really, like, straightforward, like, late-night monologue jokes that you have a team writing for you.
Excellent.
But you find a new way to show your whole vagina to the audience every time?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your talk show.
We never acknowledge it on the show.
You know, your vagina.
Yeah. The first time, the way most decisions get made is if one of us pitches something and it makes everybody laugh, it's like, well, I guess we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I pitched that to Jake and he laughed for like 5 minutes and was embarrassed and hot under the collar and like no one else can pitch that I do that.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
Like
no.
It's not really appropriate.
No.
But you know, if it comes from the vagina herself, you can do it. And the first time, the first show, Jake and I both were going to get naked. We interview our guest and there's always some sort of like stunt involved.
Yeah.
Madeline was just an amazing guest. We still talk about it to this day. Really generous and opened up about how pathetic a human life can be and how beautiful that could be as a result. Really beautiful. The first time we interviewed Betsy Sodaro, who is a wonderful comedian, and my roommate, we didn't tell her, but we were going to get naked with each question. I asked her permission for something crazy to happen, but didn't tell her what. And I think, you know, I knew she'd be okay with it. It's not okay to surprise a woman with naked bodies.
No.
We really, really got as much of a note. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the biggest fear you have of getting naked in front of people, whether it's one person because you're going to Bone Town or a small group if you're going to Orgy Town
sure.
or a large group if you're doing a show where you decide to be. the biggest fear is that someone just points at you and and screams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think that is such an insanely irrational fear that everybody has had.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What if they point and laugh?
Yeah. I did it once to someone, and I didn't mean to.
You pointed and laughed at a naked in.
Yeah, I did. I did.
What you have to tell the rest of that situation.
You seem like just the biggest dick.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a nice thing to do. But I didn't. I didn't do it to be mean. I did it because for the reason that we point and laugh because you're uncomfortable, you know, like in the same way that like I remember one time, and I'll tell a little bit more of the story. And I'm almost certain that the person that I pointed and laughed at will listen to this podcast.
Oh, no.
So I won't say her name, but though she remembers it, I'm sure. And
I prayed it was a man.
Yeah, no, you. I know you wanted it to be.
That's me. It just is mean, but.
It was just a moment of discomfort. It was like it wasn't somebody showed me their stuff and I laughed. It was that we were all swimming in a lake and a swimming top fell off.
Oh.
And I saw a boob and I pointed and
so
I
was like, oh, that's like diffusing a situation.
So different.
Kind of, because it's.
Oh, she cried hysterically.
Oh, well, then.
Yeah, it was bad. It
I
went bad.
I don't blame her for crying, but it sounded like somebody presented themselves to you.
And you went, ha, 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 look at your body.
Do I strike you as a guy who gets presented that often? No, I take what I can get.
We were just going off what you said, and it sounded
bad.
I
did. Yeah. I did. It wasn't good. It was a bad. It went bad.
You are a much more lovable character after describing
this. Yes, that's that is a surprise. You're really not expecting to see someone's naked body in that situation, and all bets are off for how you react.
I went with the bad reaction, but it's still, like you said, all bets are off.
It was a bad reaction, but it can be forgiven.
It was forgiven. Moving on, she does listen to this podcast. Will not like being mentioned.
It is not your fault.
No.
Yeah.
It was her fault. No. It was the lake's fault. It was the
slippery
lake's
fault. Slippery swimsuit.
Yeah. Slippery swimsuit. Yeah.
Slippery swimsuit is not your fault.
No. Okay. So let's get rolling with the question that starts it all, right? Gilly, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Probably 10 being...
Ten's the most.
Like an 8.
Okay.
Think about it a lot.
And what does that mean to you?
I often, if I'm not feeling loved enough, imagine that I have died. A very Huckleberry. Is it Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer? Tom Sawyer, I believe.
Which one of those little scamps did that?
They're both a couple of scamps.
Yeah.
I feel like
it
was Tom because people actually cared.
Oh, like his fake funeral.
Yeah, he was like
was
more
Tom.
A little ragamuffin.
He didn't have a lot of people.
He didn't have a lot of family. Yeah.
Huck went off with Tom, and then everyone missed Tom, and they didn't notice Huck was gone.
Poor Huck.
But, wow, I should really think on Huck. But he got, you know, he watched his funeral. I don't know if that's the best literary reference to that, but it's one. I do that a lot. I imagine that I have, if I'm feeling unloved, which is lame because I get a lot of love, so I'm a lot. It takes a lot of work. If I'm feeling that way, I imagine that I have died. I imagine what people would say, how they would eulogize me, what they would write on my Facebook wall, which is gross, but I'm a woman of the times.
Sure.
I imagine my family reacting to it, and that's usually where I stop. That's when it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
When my brain roves to like the, you know, we're treating this like it's a real thing. I've died.
Yeah.
What would friends do? Oh yeah, they'd miss me, wouldn't they? But then my family dealing with it is too sad, and it ruins it. But I think about that a lot.
That's
super vain.
That's really. I don't think anybody has had that reason for thinking about death yet that we've had on. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I
medical
think about
reasons.
Or I'm like afraid of it, or I've come to terms with it. So, but you think about your legacy a lot.
I think about death in terms of how it will punish the people who know and love me.
Who didn't love you enough.
Who didn't love me enough. Who should have showed me more.
Yeah.
I think of it in that way. And then I think about war a lot. So in death outside of myself, that's when thinking of my own death is the most vain and selfish version of it. Thinking of outside of it is when you start to really trip out on just like, how is it possible that people are killing other people?
Yeah.
I think about, the other parts of the world, death.
Have you always thought about war a lot, or has it picked up in the past couple weeks?
I always did. My parents are Israeli, so I always stressed about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm sure other – I don't think you need to be Israeli to think about
it. But it
no, yeah, but, like, I feel like a lot of us are, like, in this generation are a little more disconnected from war because it's, like, the most immediate people we knew who really experienced war were, like, our grandparents.
Mm-hmm. And they seem like characters. They don't seem like real people.
Yes.
And when you watch the news, people seem like characters, not like real people. So it's, like –
true.
I was never confronted by it in any real way other than just like hearing about the news. And when people know that you're Israeli, sometimes they want you to answer for it.
Sure.
Like if they're someone who doesn't disagree with the politics or like past wars or, you know, moves, like political chess moves that have been made, they'll ask you your opinion on it. And also sometimes with the tone of like, tell me why this happened, you know, like, tell me why, you know, Jews are oppressing Palestinians and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, that's a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer that. I can't answer that. And people will be like, are you pro-Israel? And it's like, well, I mean, I just don't want anybody to die.
What do you have? What do you say when people
pro-people.
Ask you that?
Yeah. It's a cheesy kind of a cop-out of an answer. But I mean, how could I answer?
It's a pretty aggressive question.
It's a really aggressive question,
and that's fair. And we're used to being like, well, you know, we don't talk politics. It's impolite, but it's just like that's got to be out the window. We gotta talk it.
Not talking about politics is like not talking about like our future and our well-being.
These
things are like somebody posted, and I don't remember who it was, but it's like, don't these things have to stop being politics when they're just happening on the street?
Yeah.
Like it's not like we're saying that we're against the idea of people killing people. People are killing people on the streets.
Yeah.
What was that statistic? That it won't be correct by the time this comes out, but as of today, which I can't tell you the date because I don't know it, but it's sometime in November.
The 22nd.
Oh, right, the 22nd. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We record two of these in the same day. So, yeah. So we recorded the last one on the 22nd as well. It's not. We're not crazy.
Oh yeah.
Anyway. What was I talking about?
a statistic.
There were like 700 and some odd acts of violence since the election that are like, you know, 700 acts of like of this specific type of violence based on people's responses to the election. Like, that's not politics.
Yeah.
That's violence.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a trade agreement.
Right.
We're just talking about our actual country and things that are actually happening. I think I'm hoping to get involved more because I've always had that sort of like understanding of my cousins in Israel. You care more about a kid in most parts of the world just knows more about their country than we do. They just they know more about their country's investments and their country's conflicts. Like they just know more. And Israel is an example too because you're going to serve in the military. It's not I don't think that's necessarily something we should do here. I would fight a tooth and nail, in fact. But just the idea that like we don't get involved until we have to, or we don't get involved until like, boy, I sure think too many people are dead.
We're not very preventative. We're reactive.
That's a goal.
So you have how much family in Israel do you have?
Everybody but my mom, dad, and sisters.
Whoa.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so, they're all there.
So you have cousins in the Israeli army? Or they've all done it already?
They've all done it and they're all out. I have a family friend who is still – he's about to finish. And he's like this little kid. And there was this like big scary conflict like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, where Israeli soldiers had to go into tunnels, which is super dangerous because you can't be like protected. And our like little family friend was like in there doing that, and they collect your cell phones. There's like no contact. It's really scary. So it just like everybody just like waits, and the whole country just like waits with bated breath, and the whole country knows what's happening. I have no idea where a single U.S. soldier is right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's super detached, and that's sad.
Yeah.
But they're all out. My parents served, and then they're out.
Whoa.
Some people make a career out of it. Some people don't.
Yeah,
it's not like the whole country is constantly. You come of age, and then restaurants, somebody's got to work at the restaurants. They have like other.
Were you born there or were you born here?
I was born here.
Okay.
I'm a citizen.
You're a citizen.
But I was born here.
And when did your parents come over?
They came over for college.
Okay.
They always planned on going back, but they never did.
Hmm.
Huh. Whoops.
Whoops.
My dad's pretty bummed about it.
Really?
That's me putting it mildly.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He really wants, like, he struggled. He wanted every year was the year we're going back. And he just, like, I don't blame him, but it was just such a hard decision that he kind of let himself get overwhelmed and never pulled the trigger. So he, one foot here, one foot there for sure, always. But they might move now.
Do you think that, yeah, I was just going to, have they, yeah. what what's their,
can we come to
my their take?
My dad has a lot of mental health issues, mm-hmm. and Israel has become his, like, fixation.
Oh.
Like many people yes. who are searching, having a midlife yes. crisis. Not really religion was his thing, because a lot of people do, like, go back to church, or
yeah.
if they're, you know, they're alcoholics, they do AA and that kind yeah. of thing. My dad has, like, refound the nation state.
Oh.
not God. Just Israel.
Just Israel.
yeah, it's fun.
We talked about Jerusalem syndrome on this podcast once. Those people that, like, they go to Jerusalem and they instantly become, like, fixated Sorry. On the religion, and, you know, they dress in these white robes and they go to, like, Wailing Walls and, like, pray and, like, give these, like, massive speeches and stuff. Like, maybe your dad is destined to
maybe
he's got the syndrome.
That's so funny that you say that. I can't back this up with any, this is hearsay, but it feels true, and I'm going to investigate. Someone was just telling me, I think it was Rose O'Shea,
uh-huh.
funny lady Rose O'Shea,
very funny.
I could have gotten that wrong, so that'll be weird. is that in the There's a mental hospital in Jerusalem that has more people who believe they're Jesus Christ than anywhere on earth.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
makes sense.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It's like so crazy, because it's a spot where yeah. every major religion
yeah.
has, you know, they like a big, they lay claim to the
yeah.
spot as being
sure.
an incredibly religious, important place. And that's so funny to me that a bunch of people are yeah. just like, I'm home, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, just like in L.A., a bunch of people think they're famous.
<That's>
so, like,
yeah.
You get a bunch of people who are crazy and they're like, you got to look at my YouTube channel.
It's the same thing. We're just the place that has the Hollywood side.
Yeah.
So this is
yeah.
where they come.
Yeah.
And I'm Jesus. Like yeah. the real one.
Also, I'm Jesus. And honestly, who doesn't cast Jesus Christ? You'd be crazy not to, like, at
you
least a guest star.
Yeah. yeah. You gotta get Jesus.
Jesus just got
there.
A recurring.
Yeah.
yeah, that's, so how many times have you been to Israel? Like a lot of times?
A lot of times. Like 21 times, I think.
Wow.
I was here this very time last year, or I was there this time last year. And then we went every year growing up.
Every year.
Mm-hmm. At least once. I think I only ever went once. Sometimes my parents would go more than once, but I would like.
So it was to see family. It wasn't like a pilgrimage to the homeland.
It was 100% to see family. And Israel is a unique place in the sense that, you know, life goes on, but there are certain times that are more dangerous than other times.
Sure.
So sometimes we would go to Jerusalem, sometimes we wouldn't. Sometimes it's like it's just not a good idea.
Yeah.
If things are heated politically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we say politically, of course, we're not talking about, like, you know, the Knesset, which is like the government. It's not like it's yeah. not like, you know, they're divided on an issue.
Right,
it's
right.
like there's some sort of, like, violence
mm-hmm. yeah.
happening. You just kind of, like, hear of, like, better not go there.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It can happen anywhere. But
so do you think the fact that, like, so I feel like you've grown up with more of, like, a sense of, like, of actual dangers in the world, and you've, like, you know, had to kind of, like, figure out how to make it feel normal?
A little bit, but, all you know, also I just grew up in a very cushy suburb in the valley. So with just sort of, like, I've heard the stories, you know?
Yeah,
really never experienced it myself, and
yeah.
I wouldn't claim that I, you know, like, fully understand it. But it was the idea of like, death and conflict
yeah,
and that
yeah.
kind of thing was introduced, I think, a lot earlier because of that culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's – do you feel like that's, like, at all, like, shaped your feelings on, like, just mortality or, like, health, like, the way you – like, health and, you know, hypochondria? Like, has that shaped your feelings about your own mortality?
I think so. the Holocaust is also waved around a lot when you're like a young Jew.
Oh,
so
yeah.
And my all of my grandparents were survivors of it. So it was definitely like, you know, that was like at your doorstep. So I think it's more of a mental thing of just sort of like survivor syndrome a little bit of just like, you know, like it could all go away so easy.
Yeah.
I think it mostly translated into just sort of like a zest for life, like got to live that meaningful life kind of thing. But yeah, I think most of my thoughts on death are not really fear based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just sort of like, it's there.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's looming.
Yeah.
So let's...
it's a component of. I mean, I wouldn't say I was raised with a lot of Jewish religion, but I have Judaism in my background. There is something to be said for our culture, just having a ton of experience with death and in like the most aggressive sorts of ways, where like. Yeah, I just feel like it's commonplace. Like the expectation is that people want to kill us. Like I don't know why that is, but there's the feeling that like people don't want us around. Like the, you know, this thing that just happened where, you know, like this, the question as to whether Jews are people was just thrown around
but
very recently.
It still feels funny, even though we should start prickling. Like the you know, like we should start getting organized.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because history repeats itself.
Yes,
and,
yes.
But it still feels just so far away and hysterically silly.
And just common.
But it's not.
Like
yeah.
It, but it doesn't, yeah, it, yeah, there's something very like ethereal about it where
it's
it doesn't
so
feel
odd.
Like, yeah. I mean, I, obviously no one's coming for me. I mean, I'm Jesus.
Wait, you're Jesus? I'm Jesus too. Jesus?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm Jesus.
Well, I know you're Jesus. anyways, tongues up, pills in.
Yeah. Yeah. Bye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's people want us dead.
And every religion talks about death. Like that's where, yeah, I don't know. Because we never talked about hell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, that is a thing that like the religion doesn't have, which Mm-mm. is so convenient.
Yeah.
But you do talk about angels, you talk about in the Bible of just like the Egyptians, you know, everybody's killing everybody.
Yeah.
Isn't there a thing like, what is it in Judaism where like, I don't remember the specifics other than that like dead Jewish people at like some point, there's like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like rolling in the ground, like
log rolling with dead people.
Yeah, no, it's like it's something about ending up back in Jerusalem or something. Like,
oh,
that,
like you bury us, but we'll roll right back.
Yeah, that like basically, yeah, we're all going to, we're gonna get to Jerusalem eventually. I remember going out
Don't
with this girl.
Remember
in,
that one.
I remember going out with this girl in my 20s or whatever who mentioned something about it, and I thought that she was joking because she was a smart person, but she was like very literal about just rolling in her. In like in the earth, like rolling.
No.
You gotta get to Jerusalem somehow.
All
and I broke up with
you
her.
Thought your
of it.
Grandmother was your dead grandmother was disapproving, but she was actually just locomoting,
she
man.
Yeah. She's just starting the journey to Jerusalem.
Yeah, just rolling over in her grave, and then again and again and again.
Yeah,
you're
making your grandmother roll in her grave.
I'm gonna try to look this up while you guys talk.
That's funny.
Well, so you live pretty fearlessly. Would you say that? Do you?
I try to. I like to do. I like to do weird things. I like to eat weird things. I like to try weird things. Am I the most fearless? Absolutely not. But I do. I like. But also, someone has to be watching.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like doing. I'm not doing it for me for sure. Well, I am doing it for me, but yeah, I need. I need people's reactions to know that it's worthwhile.
Really?
A little bit. I think I mean that.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Because, like, to just, like, because then it feels like, oh, this is, like, cool and brave instead of, like,
yeah,
being, like.
The ultimate thing is that I want people to laugh at it. And something that I don't mind, or something that I've realized is that I don't mind doing certain things that other people find super disgusting embarrassing. Eating a lot of things,
like a
game that I've developed at a lot of, it started actually in the cafeteria, the dining commons in college, and it's carried over to Sizzlers, where I've gone with work, like groups of work friends, where I'll just like let, and I always initiate it. Nobody's banging down my door for this. I'm like, oh, you guys can get a bunch of ingredients from whatever, mix it together, and I'll eat it. Like, guaranteed I'll eat it. The only rule is that it has to be food, you know.
Like, yeah, you can't be like a bunch of tinfoil.
Yeah, you can't put, like, Windex in it. Yeah. Although my murderer probably wants to. you know, and I'll just eat. It's just whatever gross combination you can come up with at a Sizzler. I think it was, like, hot sauce, cottage cheese, like shredded chicken. But no big deal, you know what I mean? No big deal.
Does it not seem gross to you, or it's like gross but temporary?
It's just fleeting. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
But you've also had food poisoning a ton, though, right?
Hold on. Let's, because I want to do this. I want to get to this because otherwise we're not going to get to it, and I have to be validated.
Yes, please. All the Jews are rolling to Jerusalem.
The Talmud says resurrected Jews will literally roll their way to Israel through a series of underground tunnels and caves to be reunited with their souls, turning Israel into a frolicking undead playground. So I was right, because I sounded crazy when I was saying it, and I was right, and I just need that pointed out.
A frolicking undead playground.
I rarely think of the undead as frolicking.
Frolicking, yeah. Well, that's the undead Jews.
And this girl said it matter-of-factly.
Yeah, pretty matter-of-factly. And then I laughed, and then she didn't. And then
you pointed and laughed.
She took her clothes off. I pointed and laughed. And this part's true. I thought it was so insane that I stopped talking to her. It wasn't a nice thing to do, but I was younger.
You owe her an apology.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Bible babe.
Yeah, you got a name. I'll remember it.
You should have pretended you just didn't want to say it.
Yeah, that's.
I don't want to say that I don't remember your name. anyway, back
those,
to
those are the reaches. The Talmud too, isn't that like a separate thing from the Bible? I don't even know.
Yeah,
it's
a Jew one. But
I'm not subscribing to any of those texts for the record.
So back to the gross stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you find gross stuff gross? Like, so you were saying, like, you eat a bunch of these foods. I think what makes all eating those foods gross is that they don't necessarily go together. But do you find like if somebody was like pouring blood, or if like they were vomiting or something like that, do you find like that kind of stuff gross?
I mean, it's gross, but I'm not gonna like run away.
Okay.
I'm the one in the house who kills the bugs when they come through. Sometimes they are cockroaches, and I don't think they're great. Yeah. I don't love the feeling of doing that with a familiar crunch, and it's like sorry Madeline. And they're like hardy beasts,
know? They're like
they're
animals.
Hard to kill.
It's like squashing a mouse.
Yeah.
And if they're pregnant, they lay eggs. Their eggs get in your shoe.
That's never happened. Personal experience?
I mean, that's what they tell me.
Okay.
I don't kill them for that reason.
Yeah. So I just find that less gross than my roommates find it. My roommates are very grossed out by it. They're screaming. I feel like tears are on the horizon. And I'm happy to, because I find it less gross than they do, I'm happy to be the one to kill the bug. If it's a spider, I'll try to save it.
Sure, get it out of here.
Roaches, it feels like a matter of principle. Like, that's too big of a bug that's trying to invade. But spiders, if I can, I'm catching them in a cup. I'm putting them outside.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, they're important to our circle of life. I actually used to have to get my blood taken a lot. Didn't love it. Didn't mind it. Don't care about looking at it.
Yeah.
I had to clean Johnny Schwartzbein's blood at the UCB Theater one time.
Oh, was that the time when he hit his head?
He hit his head.
Were
fine
you interning
now.
Then? Is that why you had to clean it?
I was an intern, and I'm certain that's not a good idea.
no.
But I did it. Nobody told me to do it. I did do it. So if anyone's
get
them in legal trouble.
Yeah.
I was just in the room and realized, like, it had to go. So I didn't wait to, like, ask what to do. I just did it. And, cleaned up his blood. Not a big deal. I've cleaned up my own vomit more times than I can count. Sure. And sometimes when you love someone, you clean up their vomit, too.
Yeah.
I guess I don't love anyone.
Dhruv, my boyfriend and I have you know, it's not a good thing to drink too much in bar, but we've each done it. A couple times since we've been dating, and it really does bring you closer together.
Yeah.
It really does. And then also you want to look at yourself and your drinking habits and try not to do that.
Sure.
But Yeah. Yeah, I've cleaned up his barf a bunch of times, and I love his barf.
Oh, sweet, right?
That is
that's
like
the nicest. Yeah.
What a Valentine's Day card. Yeah. Baby, I love your barf.
I love your barf.
So speaking of barfing, you had mentioned that you've had food poisoning
yes.
like a million times.
Yes, I have it probably like 4 times a year How? On average. I just like getting I go to swap meets. I go, I eat whatever, the weirdest thing that I can. I've been to Chinatown. I like to eat, you know, I'm eating bugs sometimes.
Really? Because I eat pretty undiscerningly. I have a huge fear of food poisoning, but also, like, I'll eat, like, you know, trash food from anywhere. But I don't know if I've gotten, but I have actually not gotten food poisoning, I think, ever, maybe.
That's good.
Can you give me some concrete examples of what gave you food poisoning so we can avoid those things?
Do you know that weird feeling after you've had, like you start to get sick and you know it's food poisoning?
Yeah.
And, well, you,
I don't,
you haven't
yeah.
had it.
I just imagined it realized. I've thought I had it. Probably 100 times.
Well, I'm glad you haven't. Yeah. But there's a weird certainty that comes with it. I could very well be wrong, but I get this feeling each time that's like, I know it did it. I know exactly. One particular one where I'm certain was I got the fish burrito at Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill, the one in the valley. It was actually around this time of year when they have the ice skating rink. It's next to a Westfield Plaza Mall.
You got a fish burrito at an ice skating rink.
So that's the thing. I'm an active component of the food poisoning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I also, maybe I have a super, I used to think I had a strong stomach because I ate a lot of weird stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, maybe I have the weakest stomach. It's entire, you know, I am definitely a problem in this. But, yeah, that fish burrito, without a doubt, gave me really bad food poisoning. Food poisoning from eating undercooked chicken at a barbecue. It looked charred and nice on the outside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not so cooked on the inside.
No.
Chicken's a tricky one,
chicken
guys.
Chicken is tricky.
You don't have to out him, but do you know who cooked it?
Yes,
you
I do.
You do know? It wasn't me, was it?
No. Okay. I'm not going to say.
Oh, yeah, no. It would be wrong.
No. He'll get mad.
I mean,
but that person did serve me raw chicken more times after that.
Did you say something?
I started being kind of a jerk about it because I started checking. You know, one time then, you know, I'd peek in and like, this is that like pink color, not that cooked color. And I don't. Yeah.
There are people among us who
claim to know how to cook chicken.
Yeah, and they it's just always pink, and it seems like they, you know, I don't think they have iron stomachs. They don't seem to get sick off it, but I do think that just like their moms couldn't make chicken, or their dads could have been their dads.
Yeah.
Their parents did a bad job cooking chicken, and now they do a bad job cooking chicken.
Yeah.
And now these are people that eat pink. I won't name any names either, but I got a couple.
You got a couple.
I got a couple on the tip of my tongue.
We're gonna one, two, three, and say.
Oh,
afterwards, we'll go 1, 2, 3. Mike Hanford.
Who serves you pink chicken?
No.
No,
he serves himself raw chicken.
Oh, really?
Just on a regular basis. And
wow.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't go any further.
Well, we're going to have him on. We can ask him about it.
It's yeah.
Oh.
I now overcook my chicken. I'm like peeling in to check.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, raw beef, delicious.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't do
raw
it.
Raw chicken.
Yeah.
No, it's not even chicken's not one of those things where it's like, ooh, give me a rare piece of chicken.
guys, like, at home,
the bloodier
give us,
the better.
Give us your recipe for chicken tartare.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Madeline just cooked chicken for the first time recently.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
She did exactly what you did. She let it overcook like you're supposed to.
It was good.
Because you're not supposed to kill your loved ones.
Very dry, but safe.
But, like, fine. Because I don't even think chicken tastes that good.
Chicken's
not that good.
Like boring. It's boring.
Like,
you're trying to be healthy and you're get full.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, you're like, let
that really
me get
is it.
Full.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Pan frying it in olive oil.
That's the way.
Sure is a lot tastier.
Oh,
keep trying to look up, like, is that – of course it's not as healthy because frying anything in olive oil. But I keep looking it up, and I cannot find a definitive source that says, like, it's bad.
I don't think it's bad.
It's fine.
It's not
as good as,
like, grilled or
– Yeah.
It's fine, though.
But, I mean, those kinds of oils tend to be good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think even a certain amount of butter isn't bad for you.
Sure.
But I think frying things in, you know, several pats of butter, that's probably on the unhealthy side. But just like a little bit of olive oil, just to give it that nice little char on the outside, a little saute going.
That'll take it up a notch on the tasty.
Yeah.
And I think that's better because it'll make, like, keep you eating it instead of being like, I had chicken one time, now I'm going to go right to pizza.
Does your guys' hypochondria lead you to be more sort of susceptible to reading, like, health blogs and food, like, what's healthy now and that kind of thing?
I try to avoid that because
feeds into.
Yeah, it's like very deliberately have take a very intuitive approach with my eating because when I was younger, I did Weight Watchers in high school. Never necessary, but it was not, you know, but I was like, oh, I'll do Weight Watchers. And it made me crazy.
Uh-huh.
Like, just because like
counting
I have
points and
And I have like a little bit like I can like obsess over things pretty easily.
Yeah.
And like, I just like I had like a little like point. You had like a little cardboard. I'm sure it's like an app now, but like you had like it was like literally an iPhone sized piece of cardboard where you like could slide the number of calories versus the grams of fiber versus the amount of fat, and that would like
just
give you a point
over everything.
Number.
Oh,
and then like
little Madeline,
it was hard. And then so I went into college. And so I did Weight Watchers, and then of course it like led to like bad obsessive like dieting brain where I can't control my like weight or my eating, and I was like doing a lot of like binge eating, you know, because I think that's like the natural other side of the coin like
I still do sometimes.
I mean, everybody does sometimes.
Yeah,
it's okay. it's very much okay, but. When I went to college, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'll be on the Atkins diet. That'll keep me from gaining weight.
That's the right one, the right way to live.
And I was like, so I was like on the fucking Atkins diet. I was eating. I would go to the dining hall, scrape the cheese off my pizza and just eat a lump of cheese. I was eating. I would go to the mini mart and get pork rinds.
It's good for the diet.
And then, of course, you know, like that, like didn't. Yeah, like, you know, none of these things are meant to be sustainable lifestyle choices. Yeah. And so I was just like, just totally at sea and like afraid to eat. But like, you know, it was just like food, how I think it is for many people. And they think this is like normal and okay. Like, I think our media and our society really normalizes feeling very tortured about food.
Like, you literally need to combat it.
Yes. Yeah. And so I, my best friend, Michelle, who was my roommate, she is just like – she's the coolest and the best, and she was really – she's a psych major, and she was like really savvy about like eating disorder stuff. And I remember like she gave me a book called When You Eat at the Refrigerator, Pull Up a Chair by this like dope lady named Janine Roth. I think that's her name. And she's just done like a lot of like – writing about just like people's relationship with food and like, you know, and I think one of her sort of methods is, this isn't what it's called, but it's how I think of it, is again, like sort of intuitive eating, where like the best way to adjust from kind of a disordered mentality on eating, you know, whether it's an official eating disorder or not, is to like let yourself eat what you want and like don't freak out if at first you're like, ooh, I want a bunch of brownies, I want a bunch of chips. It's like, fine. Do it. Eat it. You have to be able to trust like your body's cravings and impulses. And then like once you've done that for a minute without being scared of it, you'll realize that like more or less your body will tell you what it wants. And I've like tried to like be a little more healthy and read some articles. And I'm like, you can't. Sorry, you just can't. You can't.
Because who needs it?
And who needs it?
I'm so happy. That's such a good ending to it, you know. Even if there's so many good things that you could have had going on simultaneously to such a stressful headspace that I think everybody can get into.
Yeah, but it's such like, a bad way to live.
Getting lost in it. And it is a habit, I think, too. Yeah. Like, not that people with eating disorders just need to like snap
means. No, it's like they're different things, but like they're similar threads.
Oh, I'm so glad you found that book.
I know. It's a great book. Read it if you feel like it might be useful.
Yeah. It might be.
Maybe it will be. I'm sure more books have come out since then. But, you know, that was out in 2005.
Yeah.
Zero new books.
Fucking Atkins diet. I remember I offered my friend's mom, I was going on a trip, like a ski trip with my friend's family, and I was the like invited friend. And my mom always used to pack me snacks to share, like double snacks. And they were aggressively healthy, like popped corn, like puffed corn, not popped corn.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And like apples and, you know, good stuff to snack on. And I offered my friend's mom an apple because I had like 50 of them.
Yeah.
And she just went like, oh, no, I can't have that. I'm on Atkins. And I didn't know what Atkins was. That was the first like introduction I had to it. And I just remember like, this is a weird diet.
Yeah. If you can't eat an apple.
Listen, the cornerstone of everything is we have to believe that apples are good.
You know what they say, an apple a day keeps Dr. Atkins away. Yeah. That's all they say. That's all they say about medicine.
Keep him away.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
So you're not a hypochondriac.
I don't know.
But you do get sick a lot.
I get sick a lot with things that are like non-life threatening. You know, ultimately a very lucky, very healthy person. But if I had to complain, yeah, just like the little body malfunctions, like had acne forever, like got it really early, never really got rid of it.
Mm. It looks like you got rid of it. It's gone now, right?
It's pretty good right now. I won't even be modest about it because this is pretty good for me. But always have some big pimples going on, if not like 50. I was born with a swollen vagina.
Really?
What does that mean?
Just straight up, just like a little bit swollen that just went away with time. But like there's pictures of me.
How long did it take?
I don't know, but not long, like a couple weeks. But but the first pictures of me, like when I'm like a brand new baby, it just, you know how babies are usually like cute and like have like fun, like chubby wrinkles. I had none of that. I was a very skinny, long baby, a little bit gross, in fact. Like I weighed almost 10 pounds and it was length.
Oh, no.
It was gross. But then the one part of me that had the like cute chub wrinkles were my like little baby.
Like you're like
sorry
little,
for making
you're
people think
little
about
baby,
a baby
labia.
Your babia. my sweet baby.
You little baby. We're gonna certainly get flagged. I'm sure this is somehow illegal.
I'm so sorry. Yes. Can child porn be audio?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Welcome back to Baby Labia, folks.
Gross. Yeah.
Well, speaking of those baby labia, I got crabs on those baby labies when I was 12.
Wait, okay.
Whoa.
Non-sexual
like
crabs.
Like from the toilet?
You got...
I guess that these are, a lot of them are kind of either blood or sex-based.
Yeah.
Classic nightmare scenario of, you know, when you go swimming in a pool you're not supposed to at your local Spectrum Club gym. Then it was called Racquetball World. Somebody invested that much money. They're like, people love racquetball. They love racquetball. They need a place to only do racquetball. And we need many, many franchises of this place where people will only do racquetball for fitness. I grew up in this place because my mom was, she worked in like the kids' daycare center.
Oh, yeah.
So I was there all the time and I knew how to get in. And I knew how to talk to people so that we could use a pool on a very hot day.
Oh, yeah.
We got caught by some women who were having like, it was some sort of like elderly aquatic fitness class.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't like us splashing around. And so this one lady kept threatening us and she finally just said like, I'm telling somebody, you've got to go. So my friends, we run out, we're grabbing our stuff and I grabbed a towel that was sort of like next to the towel. It was like, there's the stack of dry towels and then there's a hole in the surface where you throw the dirty towels in.
Oh.
And it was kind of in between that.
Oh,
and I just grabbed it. It wasn't folded, or it was folded, but I immediately felt that it was damp.
Ugh.
That towel gave me crap.
Oh, no.
The one, yeah, and I didn't think it was real, but it's real. I had like 3 pubes total.
Wait,
they were brand new.
Wait, I thought my first thought was that crabs ate all your pubes, and that's why you had 3 pubes total. Until after a second, I realized I thought you meant. Well, it's true. I thought it wasn't true, but it's true. Crabs eat your pubes.
Listen. Listen to what they tell you in school, kids, because it's true. You'll get crabs at 12 without ever touching a penis, and they'll eat your pubes clean off.
They'll eat your pubes right off.
I would give myself armpit crabs so I wouldn't have to shave.
I know. It would be like getting, like putting your fish, or your feet in one of those fish tanks, you know, where like
they nibble the
fish,
dead
like
skin.
Nibble your calluses off. It would be the same thing. You just slap a bunch of crabs on your armpits, and they'll eat your.
Take care of it all.
Yeah.
So like little things that I knew, you know, I know I'm not going to die.
Yeah.
But just like, oh, we're dealing.
Yeah. It feels like a lot of your like your sort of chill philosophy on life comes from having like low grade contact. You've almost been like it's like having like an immunization where you like you've had like some low grade contact with like death and war, low grade contact with illness. So you're like enough to not make you
build a little tolerance.
Yeah.
Teeny. Yeah.
I think that's a cool, like that seems almost ideal to me.
It's like the flu shot of everything.
Embarrassment.
The tiniest
maybe?
Flu shot of embarrassment. It's just like, tiny bits of it to keep you from getting massively embarrassed.
Yeah, sort of like an emotional.
Now you have a whole show where you make other people announce their embarrassment. Right. You call them out.
I'll do it. And it'll be like a baptism. Like you come back and you're just like, look at you. You're all saved.
So in the name of your affection for grossness, can you think off the top of your head of your grossest medical experience?
Ooh, grossest one. Well, this is something I had mentioned to you guys before we started recording, and this is gross, but maybe in a different kind of way. Gross because it's super vain.
Uh-huh.
I went to get a nose job at 16.
Uh-huh.
Which is really gross. That's going in for a surgery and thinking of your face needs to change. That's mm-hmm. crazy. But I don't regret it. But
I don't think that's gross,
by
the way.
That's a different kind of gross.
Or would you – if you had a time machine, would you do it again?
I would do it again.
Then I don't think that's gross.
Yeah. So I'm very hypocritical with how I feel about it. But when I didn't get it at 16 in the end. I got it at 18 because when I was 16, they give you sort of like a litany of tests to make sure you're healthy enough for surgery. And my blood test came back and they saw that I had very low blood platelets. Oh. Blood platelets are like part of the thing that clots you up. When if you have hemophilia, you have like none.
Yeah.
And so it was super, super low. If they get a little bit low, I can't remember what, you know, I can never remember what is a good heart rate or I can't remember any of that stuff. If it was a little bit lower, they start doing transfusions, which don't work because your body's eating the cells, so it doesn't do anything. But also, like, I had no idea that this was happening. Like, I had been living my life fine.
Sure.
Playing basketball, like, super active person or teen. And so the doctor was telling us this, like, you know, you're not going to be getting the nose job anytime soon because there's just no way you go into elective surgery when you have anything, any reason, and it doesn't happen. And then he said, and I remember my mom's face more than anything, that another thing that could cause that is AIDS. And he said that to my sweet mom who just lost.
Oh, yikes.
I didn't have AIDS. Spoiler. I'm not going to draw that part of the story out.
You're not living with AIDS.
I am not living with AIDS. This is how I tell my many sexual partners. Not cool, I know. sorry, only one sexual partner, but I've had many. Hey, we all high fived, and then I floated to the top of the room.
Rolled to Israel.
I rolled right to
rolled right to Israel to join
to frolic with the undead.
Frolic of the undead.
Nothing but fucking in Israel for the undead.
That sounds. That,
also, like to roll through a tunnel. I just want to point out the tunnel has to be not. It it ha- like I, I'm
low
I,
and wide.
Yeah. Low and wide. Yeah. Otherwise, you're sliding to Israel. Right. Yeah. Otherwise, everybody, every corpse is basically getting on a big old water slide to Israel.
It seems I guess I liked it actually better when it seemed like when that girl told me like she was just rolling in dirt. But to know that there's like a route like you could put it in like, your Google Maps
from
or whatever.
New, has to roll all the way from like Paramus, New Jersey, all the way to Israel.
And then there's apparently tunnels that'll get you there.
Yeah, can't we just get up and walk?
Yeah,
rolling with no incline. That's a lot of effort. So hard. You have to physically hurl yourself rather than like just let gravity do the work.
It would take so long.
And also, do the corpses wake up once they get to Israel, or are they sort of asleep and rolling?
Their world is just twirling, twirling.
Or
dirt.
Are you just like?
I think when you cross Israel state lines, I think you wake up. That's what
then
happens.
You get to frolicking. You're rolling, and then you're hop, skip it, a jump away. That is the weirdest thing.
It's very
so
weird.
Weird.
Yeah. I was right, folks. I was right.
Yeah, you quoted a crazy thing.
I did.
So you didn't have AIDS, but you couldn't get a nosedive.
That's where we're at. Recap. Yes.
You didn't have AIDS, but you still had your old nose.
Still had the old nose, which if anyone's wondering, looks almost exactly the same
as
from
your
the front, just different from the side.
Really?
Yeah. And I liked myself too. It wasn't something I fixated on a ton. My mom actually was the one who put the idea in my head, which is
it's a mom thing.
It's a weird thing to say because it makes it sound like she was like badgering me or like didn't, you know. She also told me that I was great and you know, beautiful and whatever. It's a weird thing. It's not cut and dry.
Yeah, no, and people rarely are.
They rarely are, but it is all weird. And when friends tell me they want to get any kind of plastic surgery, not that it happens all the time, but I'll just immediately be like, no, don't do it. Yeah. But also, I did it, and I'm glad. So they had no idea to this day why I had such low blood platelets. I had to start getting blood tests once a month.
Ooh.
And getting a head injury became even more dangerous than just the average head injury could be. So the deal, they said... do you play sports? I said, yes, I play basketball. And they said, do you want to keep playing sports? And I was like, why? What you getting at?
Yeah.
And they said that if I were to continue, I would need to wear a helmet because getting a head injury would be worse. And then when you're playing sports, you're just like massively increasing the chances of that happening. So I experimented with – we got a helmet and I experimented like maybe I can turn this into something cool.
Yeah.
And I covered it in all the stickers that I'd been hoarding for my entire 16 years.
That's a great use of stickers.
I gave it a go, put it on, and it was still – just a dorky helmet, but now it was covered in stickers. So I quit basketball.
You should have put a wig over it so it just looked like you. It was just your hair.
Why is that girl's hairline so high? You're right. I should have.
You
darn,
really?
I quit basketball and I didn't need to.
You could have just put a beautiful blonde wig on the top of your head.
The saddest part to me is you lost all those stickers.
Well,
16 years of accumulating stickers. Put them on a helmet you don't even get to keep.
It's so funny, the sticker collection idea of just like, oh, but you don't use them. But then also a sticker has almost no use.
Yeah.
You just look at them. So I finally used them, and then I never wore them. And I think part of me knew it wasn't going to go down because I definitely didn't use my best. I used middle.
The B-team stickers.
The B-team. No, none of the scratch and sniff. That would be insane. Yeah. No, none of the fuzzy dogs that were my most valuable.
Yeah. Oh, a fuzzy sticker is very covetable.
Yeah, the sticker stock market remained intact. I just, you know, I lost a little bit of my investment, but not too bad.
That makes me feel better.
We never figured out why, what was causing low blood platelets.
Yeah.
I got a blood test once a month for the rest of high school. And then at some point senior year, they were just like, your level, it's normal. You want that nose job you were inquiring about? And then
you were like,
I did it. which is weird. And being told that I couldn't do it wasn't like some devastating thing. It wasn't like a – it was just a weird thing to just be like checking my blood all the time.
Yeah.
And there was nothing that resulted of it other than I quit basketball, but that career didn't have a lot much left in it anyway. It wasn't hard for me to say goodbye to basketball at all.
Did you play in the LA Recreational League?
I did.
Did you have to down the helmet?
Well, no, my platelets are fine.
Okay, they're good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
good. no helmet. That you would have heard about that. Probably. Some documentary somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a heavily documented basketball league. Yeah.
It's strange that there actually were there was like multiple documentaries that league was featured in.
I know. Everybody really tried to make some kind of piece of media about that.
Yeah.
Which I understand because everybody was like, cool, I'm doing something that's not comedy.
Right.
How can I make this into a story?
How can I make this into comedy?
Yeah.
How can I use this to prove my parents wrong?
Well, I mean, truly all I ever write about is like the one not comedy job I had, which was tutoring. I mean, I'm like, what else can I do? I'm always like trying to think of new ideas and I'm always like,
comedy.
What if I was
comedy.
Helping a kid learn something?
I do that too. It's the one thing that like makes you feel like a real human being.
Yeah.
You've experienced a life.
Yeah.
Well, there were plenty of people who just wanted to play basketball too.
Oh, sure.
And I don't blame them. I see what everybody was trying to do. Yeah. But it was easy to walk away from that too.
Yeah. I did like a season of that and really liked it when I did it, but then was like, this is a little too hard for me.
Yeah.
I'm not good at basketball and it scared me.
It got me recommitted to certain types of fitness, which was fun because I've always been like that person who goes to the gym, but I'm not really doing it. You know? It's more like imagination time. Gym is like fun imagine time. But that, you know, when there's like a team of people who are waiting for you to struggle to the other end of the court, that was like a good reminder to get back into actually exercising.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
But that's it. Yeah. That's all. I don't need it.
That league is still alive and well, right?
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know
that's
if it's
cool.
It's well, but it's alive at least. I hear about it.
Should we play a gross game?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think this is our third time playing this game.
Yes.
It's a game that we hate the most, but also keep doing it.
Okay, great.
Are you familiar with an app called Figure One?
No.
Figure One is basically like Instagram for doctors, where they'll post like a crazy thing that they're like, oh, like there's a golf ball stuck in this guy's like shin or something. I made that one up, but that's like the type of thing. And they'll like post a picture and like be like, does anybody have any like they'll post it either like to get some information or to share new information. And it's horrifying.
Yeah. Oh, this is great.
This is like
horrifying. Some of this is going to be hard for me to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Up.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. As UCB's chief proprietor of gross, we need to test with our grossest game.
Yeah.
Because this stuff isn't like we're all gross and like we still love you. This is one of a kind, rare.
Yeah.
And we love you, but like, get it away from us.
But this like might like shake your soul in some way.
And the game is just
Bennett. Oh no, Ben's caught something.
You just open it and then you're okay.
Ben looked like he was gonna barf.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah. So Ben? No.
You want to look at one?
Okay. But what the rule is? So basically, we play it like. Who can look at it
the longest.
So we'll
see. Yeah. This is a perfect example. Yeah. I don't want to look at this. I promise you, I'll look at it the longest. I promise.
Well,
I have to. My whole reputation depends on it.
Do you want to tell us what it is?
It's. Oh, I hate it. A teenage boy decided to take apart a shotgun shell. The pellets were removed from the shell before the powder charge went off. This is his finger.
Ah! Oh,
I'm glad it's
just
a finger, so he's okay. He's going to get to live.
Yeah, he's fine. Oh, I don't. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Okay, Madeline lost.
Madeline's
already.
Out. Madeline squeaked like a cute Disney mouse.
You won. So now Madeline has to choose the next picture, and it's between the two of us.
I'm
going to try to beat you.
Okay. I forgot that this is the
the is that where his you nail can... was, or is that no, the back
the,
of his
this is the
finger.
Front of the finger.
Uh-huh. I hate it.
Ugh. Well, he that... probably didn't learn his lesson.
No.
Oh, I hate this part. This is horrible. Oh, I hate it. I hate great. It. No. Okay.
Gilly didn't really react at all.
I think I thought it was going to be worse.
We start a little tame.
Oh, sure. Okay. Oh. Okay.
I mean, none of them are tame, but. Oh, so what we should have mentioned is, do you know what figure one is?
She
did mention
yeah,
it. Okay.
She, while you were reeling from oh, yeah. your sneak preview, what she mentioned it. That makes a lot of sense. That's, you know, doctors sharing information. Mm-hmm. That's great.
It's just weird that it's this accessible to us.
Yeah.
Because I didn't lie. Okay. When you sign up for this, you're supposed to say, like, what field of medical profession you're in. That? And I just said that we had a podcast, and they were perfectly happy okay. to let
oh,
us in.
Oh, that's cool that you didn't have to lie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's also, you could find any of this on Google.
This is a hashtag metastasis. Mm-hmm. In an armpit from a mammogram in an 89-year-old.
Ugh.
Oh, wait, this one's kind of sad.
They're all kind of sad.
Yeah. I'm trying to decode the medical. This one's like written too medically, so I can't. I'm trying to like mm-hmm. understand. I think this is an 89-year-old patient who had a bilateral mastectomy. And this is a tumor in an armpit, and this doctor is asking what's the optimal wound care to avoid bleeding and infection. Any ideas? That's what this says.
No tips. Wait, you're asking me so, if I have any idea no, how
I'm just
to
saying
avoid
that's what the post
infection?
Says. That's what the post says. So do you want to see?
Oh, any? I thought yeah. you were throwing
yeah,
it to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is an armpit infection, basically. That's okay. So I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ooh, never seen an armpit infection.
Yeah.
Looks like a black
you
go, hole.
Can you do the big picture version? Just, yeah, because I can't really see it well enough. Oh.
Wait.
So now go down to, yeah.
Oh, this one is not as bad as I thought. But when I wasn't sure
that's
what
gross.
It was, yeah. it was very scary.
Yeah, it's hard because it's hard to tell what part of the arm that is exactly. I think I figured it out, but.
Yeah, so it's an armpit of a person who's older, so.
But.
There's some wrinkles.
Uh-huh. Look
do
at that.
Patients consent to this?
Yeah, there's like some.
To being on the podcast? Yeah, they do.
I'd be pretty mad if my doctor snapped any yeah. photographs.
I know.
I feel like you often hear it like this has got to be akin to like when a doctor's like, oh, do you mind if I
bring my students in here?
That or like, you know, this rare case would be perfect for like a research paper kind of, or like, you know, like the,
does that happen
like
to you?
Not me, but that's like, but okay. it's a pretty common thing, like uh-huh. for, yeah, like they write like at all the, like all the university hospitals.
Sure.
Like
I wouldn't,
that's how they get their funding.
I wouldn't be opposed to that in general, just from the idea of like, if it can help people.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend Erica is a doctor now. And when she was a med student, she would tell me how excited she was about working on a cadaver.
Oh, yeah.
And that makes her weird. But we need people like that. Yeah. And that made me realize, like, that's what I think what I want to do with my body is, like,
just being.
Yeah, they need to train with real people before they. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Madeline. Oh, okay. I'm trying to get one that's really going to. This is terrible that you're so good at this, Gilly, because now it's making me want to find
something. I'm only doing it
really
out of.
Okay, this one really okay. bugs me for some reason.
It's mostly out of stubbornness.
Okay, this one. Okay, this is a tooth injury.
Oh, no.
It's a. Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
This is mother brings son in a day after he bumped his tooth while playing with sibling. The tooth fragment was removed and a coronal pulp tissue removed, then temporized, apex still open, referred to endodontist for evaluation. 1, 2, 3. Isn't that gross?
Broke his tooth?
Yeah, but it's. Ugh.
I feel like I've seen something like that before.
Ugh, teeth ugh. Stuff. Ah, I hate teeth stuff.
I have a lot of tooth falling out dreams.
Oh, that's wow. supposed to be a just, fear of death.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I read yeah. somewhere that it was just your stress.
Name. Oh, I could be too. Yeah.
it usually happens too when I have like an event coming up yeah. that I'm like, hope goes well kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
Huh. I need yeah. to really look that up.
I heard like teeth
goes against everything.
Yeah,
I
teeth
said.
Things. I know it's all being channeled into your dreams. Ben, did you lose that one, or are
no,
we?
We tied.
We're tied.
So tied means I have to keep finding these.
We can let Gilly do okay. one, and then we'll choose between, and then because I feel
we could be a draw.
Yeah, that's true.
Ugh, I don't care.
Really horrible.
Okay. This. Sorry. Keep bumping that. This is the worst position to be in. The one who has to choose it.
You're the real. It's like a great punishment for the loser. If there's something that you are grossed out by, I am.
We got it right here.
You got it? Oh no! Now I'm scared because you have not seemed really ruffled by anything. Oh
yeah, you have to really let your eyes look
focus.
At it. It doesn't say.
It's okay.
So I think it's a certain body part, but. That would make it bad.
Oh, that makes it scary.
It might be other body parts that make it less bad.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Ah! Oh! Is that a moldy butt?
I think it is a butt, and I think those are bits of genitals.
Oh.
I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah, I see the bits of genitals.
It's a very...
Guys.
Is that the worst thing to you that we've seen?
I think I've become desensitized.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Yeah, the internet will do that.
A cut makes is worse. Like that
there's
bloody finger for some reason is like, I don't know why a rash is not as bad to me as a.
But this is like an open flaking off
wound.
Yeah. No, I'm not arguing that that's a cool thing to have.
So who won that one?
We tied. I think
we all.
We may have ruined Figure One Chicken. It may just not be. This is really gross.
It just
really
gets to the point where you hate it as much as you always did, but you can just kind of look.
You can kind of look.
Yeah.
As this is referred to as a bolus pemphigod.
Ooh, what is that?
Sounds like a Greek myth.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Greek rapper.
Yeah.
14,866 views of this.
Oof. Neat.
Yeah, that's a lot of hits.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was Figure One Chicken.
It always ends up like this.
Yeah.
It always really brings the room down.
Yeah. So well.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Got anything you want to plug?
Oh. I ate two plates of nachos last night.
Oh, yeah.
I bought chips, sour cream, American cheese, and also cheddar cheese.
Ooh,
and that's, for me, that's all you need for nachos. Yeah. You don't need more ingredients than that.
No.
Yeah, I thought, when you told us that you got these nachos, I assumed that they were like the ones, like the, not the pre-made, but like the,
but like
where
a
you
sack
like,
of like.
Like the nachos at
7-Eleven.
Yeah. Where you like put the goo on.
I have.
Cheese dough.
I was very close to doing that because in high school I got that once in a while.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just a quick peek into the condiments thing, and they hadn't refilled it, so it's like, I may as well just get the most basic thing anyway.
Good call.
Thank you. I think it was, too.
Yeah.
I used to always make a pizza nachos in, like, middle school. Like, an after-school snack would be, like, a bunch of tortilla chips and then, I guess, some tomato sauce and...
That's
mozzarella
what makes it,
cheese.
That instead of salsa and that is pizza nachos.
Yeah, pizza nachos are great.
I've made Greek nachos.
Ooh.
I think some restaurants do it too. But yeah, you go, you do pita chips.
Oh.
You get some feta, you get some olives. You kind of got to toss it. Put the olives on last, bake it so the cheese is a little warm.
Oh, that sounds great.
Hummus.
Oh, man.
Good tips.
Good nacho tips. Yeah, good we tips. Looked at a rash on a butt. Now we're talking about nachos.
Nacho tips,
And that is another episode of Definitely Dying.
Thanks so much for joining
us, Gilly. Thank you so much.
So
thanks for having me. This was very interesting. I liked it a lot.
Good.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.